We are recording today on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Comox First Nations.
Hello and welcome to Love to Sew. I'm Helen, the designer behind Helen's Closet Patterns.
And I'm Caroline, the owner of Blackbird Fabrics.
We're two sewing buds who love to sew our own clothes and want to encourage you on your sewing journey too.
Join us for today's topic, sewing for kids.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I love thinking about sewing for kiddos, so I'm excited to talk about it today. I have a niece and nephew that I've been meaning to sew for forever, so I'm excited to be inspired with this
episode. They're not going to be kids forever, Caroline.
I know.
You really got to get on.
I know. My brother's going to have kids next so that I have more kids to sew for.
Yeah, well, my sister has two kids now, and my cousin, who's like a sister to me, also will be having another kid soon, so then they'll have two kids as well. So I have four little kiddos in my life that I'm really excited to sew for.
Oh, that's so fun. I know probably a lot of our listeners out there are thinking about sewing for their own kids or maybe friends' kids or family. So let's talk about sewing for kids, because this has been a very highly requested episode. I mean, we don't have a ton of experience with sewing for kids, or at least I should speak for myself, I don't. But I'm really excited to tackle it today, because sewing for kids can be so much fun. The projects tend to be smaller, so they can sew up faster. And they're also great for scrap busting. You don't need as much fabric for kids' clothes. And you know we love a good scrap busting project.
Yes. And some folks out there might have kids and want to sew for their own kids. But maybe you're like us and you have nieces and nephews or little cousins that you want to sew for, or friends' kids. And we want to add right at the top of the show that since we don't have kids, we're missing the personal experience that comes with dressing kids on the day to day and parenting children. So we're going to do our best with this episode. But if we miss something or we have some oversights, please let us know. We love hearing from you.
Yes. And sewing for kids sometimes means that you can also work with some super cute fabrics that you might not always choose for yourself. So I feel like that's another really fun aspect of sewing for kiddos.
Oh, yes. I love going to the local fabric store and looking at all of those fun novelty prints that I secretly want to make clothes out of, but I know if I do, I'll never wear them. But when you're sewing for kids, you get to choose those bold prints, or really the cutesy kind of ones that actually are designed for kids.
Yeah. And I think there are other pros that go along with sewing for kids. Like, they make great gifts for birthdays or for the holiday season. Often they're easier to sew, easier to put together, maybe simpler designs. It can be a nice change of pace from more complicated garment sewing that often we are doing as sewists on the day-to-day. And the cuteness factor. Can we just talk about that for a second? Because kids' clothes are just adorable.
They're so cute. They're so small. After you finish a pair of kids' pants, they're just so tiny, and you lay them on your work table and just, oh, I don't know. It's indescribable.
They're just adorbs. But obviously, there's also some cons to sewing for kids. The first one I think we should touch on is the fact that there's no guarantees that this kid is going to like the thing that you make for them.
Yes. Even if you pick out the fabric with your gift recipient, they might not like the end result. They might not choose it on the day to day. And this doesn't apply so much for babies, but even if you're sewing for a baby, there's no guarantee that the parents or guardians are going to like it either. So you have to go in knowing that that might happen, and just, you know, it's the thought that counts, right?
Totally. I also think kids grow so quickly, and they may not get a ton of wear out of the clothes that you make for them. So that's another thing to keep in mind, not necessarily something that's going to be worn years and years and years to come, unless, of course, it's like a hand-me-down that gets passed down, which I think is also a really sweet idea.
Yes. And of course, kids ruin clothes pretty quickly, too. Yeah. All that fun play can quickly damage clothes. If this does happen, though, episode 145 of our show is all about mending, and we provide some great tips to help in prolonging the life of damaged clothes. And you can have a lot of fun mending kids' clothes and maybe even include the kids in the process too. If they're old enough, they could learn how to mend their own clothes. That's a great skill to have. Including fun patches in kids' clothes is a great way to add an extra design detail, even if they do sort of rip through the knees of their pants or whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like you can do some really cool visible mending with that. And I love the idea of teaching a kid to sew through mending, maybe with a hand sewing needle, a little bit less dangerous than, you know, letting them loose with a sewing machine. So perhaps, I mean, you could probably tell that I don't have kids just by the way I'm talking about this. But in my mind, it seems like a better idea to teach your kid to hand sew than to use a sewing machine. I don't know. As I mentioned earlier, you kind of have to let the fact that the clothes won't be worn for a long time go when you're sewing for kids. Perhaps you or the parents or guardians will save those clothes that you made as keepsakes or use them for other kids, pass them around. I think that's a really lovely thought.
Yeah. And you don't have to sew basics like tees and sweatpants that might get worn out when they're playing in them. You could tackle a really special project like a quinceañera dress or a wedding outfit. It's a great way to sew for kids too. Make them something that they are going to use for that super special day. And it's going to be this amazingly special moment. It's going to be in photos for your family for years to come, so it can be remembered as this really special thing that you provided to this kid.
Yeah, I love that idea too. So in terms of our own experience sewing for kids, I think it's obvious that I don't have any experience sewing for kids, but I'm excited to explore that with you today, Helen. But I would love to first hear about what you've made for your nieces, because I know that you've made a few cute things.
Yes, I've just gotten into sewing for kids this past year as my youngest niece has turned 2, and she is just adorable and is so much fun to sew for. And I've really gotten into it because it's so fast and satisfying, and obviously the kids' clothes are just way too cute. And it feels really special to make them. I don't get to see them as often, and I think a lot of people are in that boat right now. You might not get to spend as much time with the little kiddos in your extended family as you would like to these days. So spending some time at your sewing machine, making them something special is a nice way to connect with them and their parents. So I've made a jumpsuit and a dress for my youngest niece, Nora. And I also made this summer a mini Marcel dress for my oldest niece, Zoya. And I have a new nephew and another niece arriving any day now. So that's going to make 4, as I mentioned. And I'm not as interested in sewing baby clothes, but I might give it a try. I find around like the 1-year mark is a nice time to start making kids' clothes because they don't necessarily have to have all of the things that baby clothes need to have. And like baby clothes are just so tiny that it's almost a little overwhelmingly small. So as they get older, I think it's fun to whip up cute things for them.
Yeah. And it's when they start, that's around the time when they start walking perhaps and, yeah, you know, are a little bit more active. So it's fun to think of a little kid kind of running around in your handmade outfit that you made.
Exactly.
I think that's also a great time to start sewing things up.
Yeah. One thing that Nora really loves in clothes I've made for her is pockets. And it's so cute to see her trying to find the pockets in the clothing, and she fills them with things and she just gets so excited about pockets. And I've also helped my sister sew a few things for Nora as well, like raglan tees and leggings. She used to just come over to my studio when I still lived in Vancouver, and she would use the scraps out of my knit scrap bucket to make Nora a bunch of t-shirts or a bunch of leggings all at once. We'd just run them through the serger super fast. We wouldn't even hem the bottom of the leggings. You know, you can really cut some corners when you're sewing for kids because they are going to grow out of it really quickly. So they don't necessarily have to last for a long time.
Definitely. All right. So let's first talk about how to sew for kids. And I think the first thing we need to cover is measurements. How do you measure a baby? How do you measure a kid?
Well, for baby measurements, it can be a bit tricky because they can't stand upright or even sit straight. So babies' chests are often more pronounced, and their waist and hip measurements tend to be fairly similar. But with that being said, you can use similar reference points that you would in measuring a larger child or an adult. For example, measuring the inseam length from the crotch to the foot will give you an idea of how long to make legs on a pair of pants or the skirt on a dress. Chest measurement is wrapped horizontally under the armpits around around where the nipples land. And then waist measurement is where the narrowest part of the natural waist lands, which is really hard to find on a child. But also, you don't need to worry too much about fit with kids' clothes because they're usually a little bit formless. So it's not that big a deal. And, you know, make it bigger, if anything, because they will grow into it.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about babies, you know, you don't necessarily need any, you know, shaping or anything that's particularly form-fitting. I think a lot of the time there's like elastics involved and stretchy fabrics involved. Yeah. But you were talking about natural waist. I think measuring just above the belly button of a child would be a good way to find the waist measurement, especially for a baby, right?
Yeah, exactly. And height can be determined by laying the child down with their legs stretched out. So you can kind of get a sense for how long to make a garment. And again, you can also just guess or let the parents and guardians know that you're happy to hem the garment after you finish it so you can get a good fit. Or maybe you just roll up the bottom of the pants.
Yeah, because the garments are so small, it's easy to make those last minute adjustments and quick to make, right?
Yes.
And then taking toddler and older kids measurements is a bit easier, somewhat similar to how we would take measurements for adults. Not every child is going to want to be measured, so you can always go with the size based on their age and hope for the best. Of course, we want to be respecting the kids and parents or guardians' boundaries here. So don't measure a kid if they don't want to be measured, you know?
That's a good advice. Melly Sews recommends that you start with tying a piece of yarn around the waist of the child to determine the child's waistline. And you can test out if your yarn's in the right place by having them bend from side to side. It's a fun little game. Mm-hmm. And the bend should hit right at the waist point where the yarn is wrapped around. And you can measure this point with a soft measuring tape too, but a yarn is just an easy way to get it around their body.
Yeah, definitely. And then you would keep that yarn on so you can also measure the neck to waist and neck to floor measurements as well. This is great for sewing dresses. For example, for neck to waist, identify the big bone at the base of their neck and then measure from that point to the waistline point where you've marked with the yarn. Or if you want neck to floor, you can use that big bone and measure to the floor. And that's a good measurement for those full length dresses that you might be making. All those full length dresses, you know? Definitely a go-to.
Right? For Nora, we usually make short dresses and then she wears leggings all the time. So there's always leggings underneath, right?
So cute.
And then for the hip measurement, you can measure the fullest point where you think the hips actually sit, similar to measuring for an adult. And for the chest, have this be at the level of the child's nipples is a good place to go. To take arm measurements, you can have the child put their hand on their hip and then starting at the shoulder, measure all the way down to the wrist.
Awesome. And then some things that you're going to notice about kids' clothes are specific notions such as Velcro or snaps. This makes it easy to take clothing on and off. I think snaps are really great for diaper changes, makes things really easy around the crotch area to just open things up and then close them up as needed. You're not having to take something over a kid's head. And then fabrics such as cotton or jersey knit are often recommended. This is something that's recommended because these fabrics tend to be more comfortable and better for sensitive skin.
And then in the baby to toddler range, more fitted clothing versus super baggy clothing. And this is really a safety thing, avoiding like fire, choking, or suffocation hazards, or tripping. You want to make sure that your child's going to be safe. So we're not experts here. So please, you know, use your best judgment and consult any resources that you can if you're going to be making baby clothes. I think that the snaps for easy access is so important for young parents mm-hmm. who are navigating raising a small baby and just having to take them in and out of clothes all the time, or even when they're potty training. Oh my goodness. I mean, anything that can help them out there is good.
I remember my sister telling me that you want to avoid buttons as much as possible on baby clothes because, yeah. you know, those buttons can fall off and that can be a choking hazard. So that's, I think, why snaps are much more popular, and Velcro as well tends to be popular with the really small baby clothes. Similarly, you would want to avoid the use of string or cording for babies. This can be really dangerous, again, choking hazard. So instead of using like a drawstring, maybe use elastic in the waistband. And elastic is also really great for toddlers potty training because it's a lot easier than zippers to like pull something on and off, if you have an elastic that stretches. And then you also want to have less bulky seams in kids' clothing. I think kids tend to be sensitive to that, like bulk, things that might be itchy or might just kind of bother them. So it's not the time to break out your Hong Kong seam finishes. Something simple like just a serger or a zigzagged, you know, edge, I think is the way to go for kids' clothes.
Yes. And when it comes to choosing the fabric, this is a really fun opportunity to get involved with your recipient for this garment, because you can get their help to choose the fabric. And it can be so much fun to go shopping to find that perfect fabric. I remember going to the fabric store with my mom when I was little and looking at all the fabrics together and choosing things. And I just loved it. It's one of my favorite memories. So if you can go with them or involve them in picking something online, even, you can do that. You just want to make sure that the fabric makes sense from a functionality standpoint for what you're going for. Maybe present with a few different options that you know are going to work and have them choose from those so they don't get excited about something that's not going to work at all for the project. And children's skin can be delicate, so choosing something that's comfortable and breathable is really important.
Yeah. And also when you're choosing fabric for sewing for kids, you want to consider safety and comfort and then overall appearance. So for newborn babies, comfort is really important. Choosing extra soft fabric that's going to make it comfortable against perhaps the cut of their umbilical cord or their sensitive skin. And then for slightly older babies, comfort and safety are important. So the fabric should be breathable and not too slippery or thick. And a great fabric option for sewing for babies and kids in general is cotton, because it's so breathable and so comfortable. Avoid synthetic fabrics for children's clothing. That's also something to consider, because synthetic fabrics can have high chemical contents, which can be irritating to their sensitive skin. So natural fibers like cotton are a really great option. You also might want to look for fabrics that are Oikotex certified, because that is testing the fabrics for harmful chemicals. So if there's an Oikotex certification, it means that those fabrics or textiles are kind of certified to be chemical free. So that's a good way to go. But I highly recommend you do your own research, because there are, you know, some, you know, notable rules and laws in different countries in terms of the types of fabrics that you can use for different functions. For example, in some countries like the USA, cotton is actually banned for making commercial kids' sleepwear for kids from 9 months to size 14. And this is due to the highly flammable quality of cotton. The United States Consumer Product Safety Commission does provide additional information on their website, so you can learn more about it and test your fabric in advance before sewing it up. And often commercial kids' PJs are made from poly, which is more flame resistant. Again, this is for commercial kids' sleepwear. So these rules are for, you know, companies that are making clothes to sell. I think that you could probably do your research and use your discretion when you're making clothes for your own personal use for your family.
And some cotton fabrics that can work well for kids' clothes are cotton lawn and cotton voile, both lightweight options that you can consider. Lawn is good for baby clothes. Voile is thinner than lawn and it's really pretty for pretty dresses. Gauze and batiste are some great options. Gauze does tend to have a wrinkly look, but it can be super soft. It may not be a great option for older kids due to the wrinkle factor. And batiste is also comfortable to wear and is less transparent than cotton voile or cotton lawn.
I have to say, double gauze is an extremely popular choice for kids' clothes. I know that because we sell a lot of it at Blackbird, and I see all kinds of lovely Etsy sellers that are making really adorable clothes for kids out of double gauze. It's also really popular for those like wrap scarf kind of things that people use to snuggle their baby.
Yeah.
So cotton double gauze is really popular and I think it looks really nice. But I agree that wrinkle factor might not be ideal for maybe a toddler. Yeah. What other fabrics, Helen?
Broadcloth is another cotton option that can be used for really any garment that you need to make, any woven garment that is. And I think quilting cotton too is really fun here, because it does come in all of the fun prints and patterns. So if you're looking for a fun print, a quilting cotton is a good place to look. Muslin can also be used for burp cloths or diaper covers. Denim works for jeans and is super durable. And as kids get older, you can safely use a wider variety of fabrics.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking really the sky is the limit. Like a corduroy, can you imagine a little pair of corduroy overalls? Oh.
Nora has a little pair that her grandma made her, not my mom, but her other grandma made her, and she embroidered some rainbows all over them, and they're so cute. And she takes them on and off so fast. It's crazy.
Wow. She's an expert overalls wearer.
She is.
That's so awesome. And then, of course, jersey fabric is another great option for baby clothes and kids' clothes because it's soft, it's breathable, and it's super comfy. It's also stretchy, which is great for moving around in. And other knit fabrics like a cotton spandex knit, double knit, that can also work well. The great thing about knit fabrics is their stretchiness, their stretchability. And because of this, these clothes can last a little bit longer as kids grow. So a little bit more versatile.
Fleece is a good option for kids in those colder months too. And microfiber fabrics and non-allergenic fabrics are great for kids with sensitive skin. Bamboo rayon's another soft option that has non-allergenic properties. There's definitely more options out there for knits. There's so many different kinds. Hopefully this gives you some good ideas. I've made leggings out of French terry left over from making sweaters, and it's so nice and warm and soft and cozy.
Yeah, and you can get so many of these fabrics, like I said, Oikotex certified, GOTS organic cotton certified, you know, even Lenzing, Tencel I've seen made into like terries and really nice jerseys and things like that. So if you want to go from more of a sustainability angle, and also just if your child has sensitive skin and you're thinking about that more, then there are definitely options out there for you as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about notions? There's so many different notions that you may encounter when you're making kids' clothes. We mentioned early on Velcro and snaps, and some of us might not be super familiar with installing these kind of notions, so we thought we'd provide some added information and tips on this too.
Yes. I mean, Velcro is a popular one. And one thing you want to keep in mind with Velcro is that you want to buy sew-in Velcro. You're generally safe when you pick up a sew-in Velcro at a sewing supplies shop. So, you know, don't worry too much about the type of Velcro, but try to look for that sew-in one, not the one with a sticky back, because that could not work for garment sewing, I would say. And then use a strong needle when you're attaching that Velcro. So this can depend on the heftiness of your Velcro or the softness of it. But if you find a stronger universal needle isn't doing the trick, try a denim or a leather needle.
And to hold the Velcro in place while you're sewing, you may want to use some double-sided tape like Wonder Tape just to keep things secure while you're actually getting the Velcro on there, because it's kind of hard to pin through Velcro and fabric. It's a lot of bulk.
Yes, and there are two parts to Velcro, the teeth side and the soft side. Is that a technical term, Helen?
I think so.
But when you attach Velcro to your project, the teeth side should have a flat border, and that's going to help you to stitch close to the edge so you don't have to stitch over the teeth. And if you're struggling to stitch close to that edge with the teeth, you can always try a zipper foot because that'll help you to get closer in there. And then the soft side often doesn't provide that edge, but that's just because you can simply stitch close to the edge. It's super simple. You don't have to worry about those kind of pointy, tougher teeth getting in the way. Our last tip for sewing Velcro would be to just use a shorter stitch length, such as a 1.5 or 2. That's often what's recommended when sewing Velcro to keep things really strong and secure.
Yes. And snaps are another notion you're going to encounter with kids' clothes. There's so many different kinds, but the most common are sew-on snaps, snap tape, and set-in snaps or gripper snaps. All these types of snaps have interlocking pieces, including like a ball and a socket. So sew-on snaps are really easy because you literally hand sew the snaps in place, so you don't need any extra tools. And we'll include a link in the show notes with a tutorial for this. And you can use them on kids' tops, on bibs, etc. Snap tape is commonly used for baby and toddler clothing. So snap tape includes the ball and socket portion of the gripper snaps on a piece of twill tape. So similar to sewing Velcro, you're going to sew the tape down close to the edge on all sides of the snap tape. And using a zipper foot can really help to avoid the snaps and get around them as you're sewing it down. You'll often see this on like the legs of kids' clothes so that you can easily open it for changing diapers or going to the bathroom. Super, super handy to have it there. Finally, set-in snaps, which doesn't require any sewing, but includes similar steps to attaching rivets if you've done that before. There's four parts to this kind of snap. There's the socket, the snap cap, the stud, and the open prong. So you essentially are going to take all four of those pieces, sandwich them around your fabric, and use a tool to actually hammer them in place. And you can set in your snaps with snap fastener pliers as well, or you can use the hammer and anvil method. Depending on the snap, it'll probably come with some instructions. It might even come with a tool included. So if you don't already have a tool, you can probably go to the store and get one that has like a little plastic doohickey included in the package.
Yeah. So basically you're taking like two of those parts to do one side and then two of those parts to do the other side. And then theoretically, if it all works, that's going to make those two pieces of fabric snap together and close up, right?
Yes. And speaking of theoretically, always a good idea if you have an extra snap to do a test on some scrap fabric. I always like to do that before I go on to the final product because it can be a little hard to figure out which piece is going to go where. And I want to make sure that I've got it all figured out before I head to my final garment.
Yeah. And one of the fun things about sewing for kids is that it's a fun way to add little fun details and special details to those clothing that you're making. You're working with smaller pieces, so you can really take your time and go slow. And in terms of which details we're going to talk about today, we decided to touch on applique and embroidery because we think those will be the cutest and most fun to do for kids' clothing. So let's talk about applique first.
Yeah, applique is when we add decorative fabric to our garments, and often this takes the shape of letters, a motif, or a design, and applique can be glued or sewn onto the fabric. So it's a really cute way to personalize a kid's garment. You could put the first letter of their name on there. You could put their favorite character or just like a cute animal like on the chest of a sweater. A great example of this is the Misha vest from Blue Darling Patterns. It has a bear applique motif on it, and Blue Darling Patterns is actually run by Anya from Anna Zoe Sewing. We had her on the show in our maternity episode. She's since had her daughter Zoe, and she released this Misha vest as one of her first patterns in her collection. And I think it's so, so cute. I'm dying to make one for all of the kids in my life. I just love it. And Style Arc also has various applique designs too. So we'll link both of those options in the show notes.
I had no idea about Blue Darling, and this is such a cute pattern. I love that little bear on the front.
It's so cute, right?
Wow, great job, Anya. Amazing. So to give applique a try, simply decide on the design you want to go with. So like Helen said, that could be letters, a design, or a shape. And then we recommend drawing or tracing that design onto some double-sided adhesive, like a Vylene Bondaweb or Heat and Bond Ultra Hold. And then you can iron on the double-sided adhesive to the wrong side of the fabric as per the instructions of the adhesive. And after the fabric has been attached, you should be able to peel away the paper side of the adhesive.
Yes, and then it's time to attach the design to your main fabric. So first, consider interfacing your main fabric to make sure the surface is sturdy. You'll want to consider an interfacing that's a similar weight to your main fabric. Then you place your design on the right side of the main fabric and iron using heat and steam. Great idea to use a pressing cloth here as well. And then your design should be attached to your garment. So then you can stitch around the edges to help secure it even more. So you're basically sticking it in place and then you can sew around so you don't have to have a bunch of pins in the way. You can do a straight stitch for your applique, which is simply edge stitching, you know, an eighth of an inch from the edge of the design onto the main fabric. Or you can do a zigzag applique using a wider zigzag stitch to catch both the design and the fabric, so you're kind of going over the edge with your stitches. Or you could try a satin stitch applique. So this gives a really professional look, super, super tight stitches that are going to cover that whole edge and prevent any chance of fraying.
And then if you're adding embroidery to a kid's garment, that can be such a beautiful special touch. Hand embroidery tends to not be as durable as a machine embroidery, so you might want to consider machine embroidery if you have that ability with your sewing machine. And if you're going to hand embroider, try to ensure that you're tying those loose knots off and consider the wear and tear that the kids' clothing is going to go through before you dive into something that's super elaborate or possibly too delicate that could get kind of, you know, caught on things and maybe ruined really quickly. You really want to think about the application here, but I think it could be a really fun way to add some cute details.
Yeah. Okay, a few other things to note for sewing for kids. Because the items are so small and they sew up really fast, it's a great opportunity to batch sew. So why not cut out several onesies or several tees at once? And maybe you're even using a similar thread color so you don't have to change so much. It's a great way to be efficient and manage your sewing time. And if you're looking for more efficiency sewing tips, you can check out episode 105 for speedy sewing. We give some more tips there.
Yes. And I feel like we should talk a little bit about kids' sewing patterns, because there are so many cute indie kids' sewing patterns out there. And we have a few companies that we wanted to recommend. So Oliver and S would be the first one. They have a really lovely collection of patterns. Brindle and Twig, they have a lot of knit patterns. So sewing patterns that would work really well for knit fabrics. Pauline Alice came out with a kids' collection, which is so cute. There's also Ellie and Mac.
Yes, and Love Notions. I've used some of their kids' patterns before. Patterns for Pirates has a lot of different selections. The Simply Pattern Company has lots of options. Below the Kohai has some really adorable patterns, including some dungarees that are so cute. Pattern Paper Scissors as well.
Fiber Mood has some great patterns, Made by Jack's Mom, and Elemento Patterns as well. And there are also some pattern companies that provide adult and child sewing patterns to kind of go along with it. True Bias, Chalk and Notch, Megan Nielsen, and even more recently, By Hand London came out with some cute kids versions of their clothes. So I think it's so fun to see those. You can do the kind of like mommy and me sort of outfits, which I think would be so cute. You did that with the Chalk and Notch Marcel dress, right?
Yeah, I made matching dresses for me and Zoya in this beautiful red floral rayon. We'll have to put a picture in the show notes. It was so much fun. And whenever I see her, we always wear our dresses together and she just loves it. But we have a few other people we wanted to mention that you can follow if you want more matching outfit inspiration. Daddy Dressed Me, Michael Gardner, he makes so many cute clothes for himself and his daughter. You can follow him at Daddy Dressed Me by MG on Instagram. Beauté J'adore has an amazing blog on Instagram as well, and she makes such beautiful garments for her and her daughter too.
Yeah, and Holly Dolly Darling, she shares so many cute matching looks with her and her daughter, and she's super fun to follow. She also uses a lot of Blackbird fabrics.
Amazing. Well, I feel really excited to sew for kids. I also love knitting for kids. I just made a couple of little beanies for the new babies in my life. So I don't know. There's lots of just fun ways that you can create things for the kids in your life and have that moment of connection with them, and maybe even create something that can be a family keepsake for years to come.
Yeah, I love that idea. Something that will just be kept in the family or treasured or even put in a box. And then, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, that kid's going to find it. I love seeing old kids' clothes that my mom have kept that I used to wear, and kind of connecting them with photos that I've seen. So it's just such a fun idea. And we also want to hear from you. If you've ever sewn for kids, connect with us on social and share your makes in stories or tag us in a post. Let us know if we missed any awesome patterns or amazing inspiring sewists that are making kids' clothes or sharing those kind of matching outfits. We want to see it all. Hit us up on social this week. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloseteatpatterns.com.
We're recording in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving this show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and you'll get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini episode. We also share fun behind the scenes photos on Patreon, and Helen recently shared her matching outfit with Zoya. So you have to follow us there and support us there to see these photos. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
You know what, Caroline? I think we might be launching something super special very soon, and our patrons are going to get first dibs.
That's a really good point. So I think everyone needs to get on there.
Get on first there. Dibs. Okay, thank you so much to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Great tips that we wrote.